bigger than 50%.
I think it's
okay. Okay.
Yes, edit
that. Maybe before, so no one's here yet. If you have any questions to ask, I'll answer your questions before we start. No questions? Okay. Good. No questions is great. And everything's clear. All right. I'll make some introductory remarks, then we'll just talk about other things. So, we had spoken at the very beginning about some of the questions that are typically asked of a couple when you're asked to be Masada Kiddushin. Well, we spoke a little bit about conversions and adoptions, which usually are conversions these days, and about divorces. Some say you should ask about IVF, donor eggs. You know, I don't like to ask that question. It's very personal. I'm not even sure that people know their origins. Sometimes a person could have been come from IVF with a womb with a donor egg and doesn't even know about it. It's a problem. It certainly is an issue. But I guess one has to really figure out is this how common this is. I believe that it's a responsible thing on the part of a couple that's getting married. If either one of them knows that they are the product of an IVF and a donor egg, which is very often a non-Jewish donor egg, which would require presumably a conversion, then you have to check the conversion too. So I talk about a case of adoption, but this is a new kind of adoption. You adopt the egg, not the baby. But there's a big machlokes. Is it the birth mother or is it the egg mother? I thought leaning towards the egg mother, it's a serious matter. But even the other way around, where we call today surrogacy, which a person is more likely to know about, I still would require a gir l'chumra, because I'm not sure that we can say for sure that it depends upon the genetic mother. So we're discussing about asking about Rabbi Stein about what was called the non-standard conception of surrogacy. In other words, IVF says, I never asked that question, but it's becoming more and more common. You have to do with statistics. A couple looks into you. How do you know that they're their father and their mother? And then it's also the question of what they call today sperm donation, which has halachic ramifications, and ksuba ramifications, the way around the ksuba. So I don't ask that question. Maybe I'm from a previous generation. When it's going to come to a point where in the world where we live is going to become so crazy, what? You're not from IVF? You're not from a donor or something? What? You have two regular parents? What? I don't know. I can't imagine it yet, but the world we live in has become a little designer babies. Who knows what's going to happen down the road? I'm just mentioning it to you that some people ask the question. I don't. But if you think I'm wrong statistically, let me know. Fine. A few other points that we hadn't spoken about too much earlier. There are.
Is Rebbe opposed to an older single woman who wants to have children?
I am vehemently opposed to single women having children. Vehemently, not just plain. Vehemently. I believe you're bringing a yosem into the world. Kolamonav yosem lo sa'ana. That means you're not supposed to. A yosem is a bad thing to be. Now, if someone's a yosem because a father or mother died, it's not in anyone's control. But here you're bringing a yosem into the world because if this kid has no father, the father's unknown. How can you do this thing? You want to have a kid? Find a husband. I can't find a husband, so all right, so what can you do? I do, however, encourage women of that age to freeze their eggs. Thus, yeah. In other words, she's 35 years old, and she hasn't found a husband yet. Nebuch, rachmanis. Freeze your egg, and hopefully you'll find a husband in the next, whenever you find him. If you find him at age 80, I don't recommend unfreezing the egg and then bring up a kid when you're 80. But if you're 50, my ish, the average person who's 50 now lives till past 80. Once you're 50, I think statistically you'll have to pass 80. I'm not mistaken. So you'll have 30 years to raise the child. Are you 50, your eggs are no good. Somebody it's raised post-menopause and good chunk of the population. Okay, so I have my egg. I found my husband. He's 52 and I'm 50. We can bring him up. The Torah, the chuppah, the masim tov. We can bring him, walk him down to his wedding. Hopefully without a cane. You know, but yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Someone just called me about it recently, a real life case, someone I know. But having a baby? Oh, not where I come from. I once spoke about it. I said the pasuk says in Bereishis, Al ken yaza vishes ova vesima vadova vishto. Vayu le basarecha. So Rashi says, basarecha means have a child. It's a pasuk. You have a child. It's only if you leave your father and mother, two people come together and have a child. Not that a woman is just having a child without a husband. Just, you know. Anyway, Cain nearly. Fine. We spoke about the ksuba, I think, at great length, and about the tanoim. Even we spoke about the prenup too. Am I correct? These have all been covered at length. So I have a part of my last part of my syllabus that I talk about is the wedding day itself, and some of the things we may have also spoken about, but feel free to tell me that I'm repeating myself or to ask questions that we haven't covered. There was a minute to fast at a wedding day. It's a very old minute, and it should be kept, but it should only be kept if it's not an excessive hardship. If it's too hard, the chos and kal should be instructed not to fast. In some parts of the world, the kala never fast. The women are considered to be too weak to fast. I don't see why that should be true. But it depends on each and every case. It could be the chosin is too weak to fast and the kala does fast, or vice versa. They both fast. That's what should normally be done. I'm a big fan, may have mentioned this briefly before, of taking pictures early. This is what's called Tsar Balei Chaim Doraisa. Now these weddings, the pictures take so long that there's a next time you go to a wedding, all right? Now it's just our last class, you won't be able to come back with a report. Look at the watch when the young man, you know, breaks the glass when the chuppah is over, when they start marching down Od Yishama. Look at your clock, and look at your clock when they come marching in to the dance floor. See how much time lapses. Have you paid attention recently? It can be an inordinate amount of time. An hour and a half. Yeah. I know Marshall, they do that for Yomi. And then they come back and they still have a lot of time left after the Daf Yomi. It's a Tirucha Gedola. And then as a result of that, by the time it comes to benching, there's nobody left. People are not going to stay so long. So one of the reasons that these delays is so long is the pictures. Right, the main reason. Picture. Take the pictures before. Oy, chas v'chalila. The chosn can't see the kala. Oy, it's a minute, 7 days. You can't see the... Where's that minute come from? Show me. No? Where? Anyone know where it comes from? Yeah. You're saying it's the concept of, we know it's dam chimud. So therefore, they don't see each other for 7 days. Nowhere in the Gemara does it say they can't see each other. It's dam chibud, it's a concept that exists, but doesn't say you shouldn't see each other for 7 days. Nowhere. No such Gemara. I'm not a bucky. But there was a man whose name was Aryeh Kaplan, Zichron Levracha, was a bucky nifla v'noira admaot. He wrote a book called Made in Heaven, which is the best book that I give to people in English, all about what you have to know about a wedding. It's highly recommended. Aryeh Kaplan, Made in Heaven. He knew Kol HaTorah Kula, and whenever he quoted, everything had a source. He was a genius. A million notes and footnotes, unbelievable. And he quoted this minig. You know what he quoted to the source of minig? Minhage Chabad. That's as high up as he could go in the totem pole of source for this minig of not seeing each other for 7 days. I happen to think it's a great minig. As you said, correct. It should be done. I did it. I think I reckon everyone else should do it. My kids did it. Great. Doesn't mean they can't take pictures 2 hours before the wedding because it's Chalila v'chas over the Minhag Chabad. By doing so, The same as the chos and kala, as the mitzvah misameh chos of a kala, the chos and the kala should misameh other people too. That's gemilas chasodim. You know how much time is saved as a result of this? No, I'm too firm. I won't allow it. So I have a different suggestion for you. Take all the pictures without the chos and seeing the kala in advance, and crop! That's all. Get the best picture of the chos and put them into every kala picture. Leave space. And for the kala, crap. Can't even tell the difference these days. That's how good the technology is. But to keep people waiting so long, I think it's criminal. It's a bittul zman, bittul tor, bittul everything. It's terrible. And it's bittul simchas chos of a kala too. At the end, they come in so late. Everyone's just running out the door. Okay. On the other hand, a Masada Kedusha should try to come more or less on time. Now, more or less on time means that you have to find out from the people what they want and then try to come at an appropriate time to be able to do it on schedule. Now, I told you already in the past that the preferred time to fill out a ksuba and the tanoim is in advance. In advance. At the wedding, it's too hectic, you make mistakes, and it takes time, and do it in advance. So if you have everything filled out in advance, and the chos and kala are there, and you walk in, you can do the whole thing in 15 minutes. The tanoim's already filled out. Again, assuming the 80 are there. I walk in, okay, with the 80 tanoim, good. It's red sign, it's, you know, pick up the handkerchief, sign the tanoim. It's done, it's 15 minutes. What takes so long? How you do it tonight? It's all filled out in advance. So the two fathers are there anyway. So you are the eight of the year. So while you're doing that, say, bring in the two brothers. While this is going on, it takes a while till they get out from the. Now, of course, you have to assume that the mothers are there already. Sometimes the mothers come. Another thing. Sometimes they have called a wedding, and the kala is supposed to be there from the beginning, and she's not there. The chosn is often also not there. As you come to when there's nobody there, no chos, no kala. The time it's called for. Usually the chos usually is there. But the kala, sometimes have to patchkin around there until she marches in with a whole taram. Can't just sit there first, because it's hotlishkin za, hotlishkin tam. Why the chos can be there before anybody else? Why can't the kala be? Lo mevin. So they have to make an. The chos never made an entrance into his chos and such. I never heard of an entrance. You're there, you sit there. Can't have an entrance with the two mothers, with a taram. I think it's also whatever. So in any event, so assuming that the kala is already sitting on her throne, and I told you I'm not in favor of a kala's tish, I'm absolutely against it. And if someone told me, but I have to have it, what would I do? I would. It's not a deal breaker for me. There are a lot of things which are deal breakers, so this is not one of them. I would just ask a favor. Finish the kala's tish before I come. That's all. Happy? You want to call for. We call for 6:30. So have a tish for half an hour. I won't walk until 7 o'clock. And 7 o'clock, I'll start the tanoim. You'll be sitting on. I'm not doing anything anyway. Can't do anything until she's on sitting on her quote throne. Can't, because the mothers and this and that and the other thing. So I don't like it. But anyway, one of the egalitarian phenomena. We maybe should talk about a little bit more today. The whole last year we had a whole. I brought in a whole thing called, what's it called? 13 ways to enrich a wedding. My wife always very passe. I shouldn't even bring it in anymore because it's there's so many more things than there. There's so many wilder things. We'll talk about some of them as we go. Anyway, so it takes 5 minutes. Why? Everyone's sitting there. So if bringing the mothers, it takes them 5 minutes to get there. While that's happening, the Adam, the fathers pick up a pen, and then the Adam sign their names, and you read the Tanaim, and then they break the plate with a hammer, or they with the chair, the corner. Doesn't take long. Then you do the ksuba. See, tanoim is basically meaningless because it doesn't say anything. The ksuba is meaningful. It takes a little bit longer. It takes 10 minutes. It's filled out in advance already. So what do? You get the two edims from the edim of there. You read the ksuba. I read the ksuba with the chosn and the two edim. Now, of course, my chassan usually know how to read Hebrew. Some know more, some know less. If you get the Made in Heaven book, they tell you what it all means in English. I said, we read it together. I read it with the Adam together. We say some things in translation to make a general understanding of what it means. Okay? pick up the pen when you get to the word v'kanina, which I also filled out in advance. And you ask the Adam how to sign their names, and they sign their names. So it takes, 10 minutes. It should take more than 15 minutes to get from one to the other. Sach HaKol. You have the Badekin. The Badekin is next. Badekin should be a solemn Badekin. I mean, the cells will go slow Badekins, fast Badekins. Even the fast Badekin should have some tone of seriousness. And here's one of my pet peeves, and no one listens to me on this, but okay. I'm unhappy when they pick the chassan up on the shoulders after the bedek. It's too early. He's not a chassan yet. He's not married yet. And it's up there like a prize fighter, you know. I might see it all the time. Going like this. What is this? I don't think it's right. The bedek is a serious thing. That's what's supposed to be said. It doesn't take too long. 5 words. But sometimes they give very long brachas, and you have to be patient. If there are any grandfathers there, you should bring them in. You have to wait till they come. It's only right that they were zeichah to marry off a grandchild. They should have the chance to give a bracha to Badekin. And it's a very important stage. It's a very meaningful. In some ways, it's not halachically, but emotionally, it's maybe even the most meaningful part at the beginning of the wedding. And then you have to understand that in America, from the time that they go to the Bedekin, and the chassan picks up his foot to go to Bedekin, he picks up his foot to march inside the chuppah, can take usually at least 20 minutes, and usually sometimes more than half an hour. Why? Don't ask me questions, why? Kachazeh. Till everyone schleps from one venue to the other. Depends how wide the doors are, how fast people are still noshing about the shmur, they turn off the lights, get everybody to move. How can we go to Bedekin? There's nobody here. Go now. By the time you finish everything else, people build it and they will come. People will come. You should make up in advance. When do you want the Bedekin? Every Misada should find out when do you want the Bedekin? When do you want the Chuppah? So, and they should be at the very, very least 15 minutes apart. It's impossible in America. Impossible. So that from my experience, I don't think I've ever been in a wedding in America where the bedekin started, where the chuppah started less than 15 minutes after the bedekin. Am I right? Not sure. It's going to be half hour, 45 minutes. They started a new thing. They play concerts at the chuppahs. Yeah. I was at a chuppah not long ago. So there was a bedekin, and then it was schlep and schlep and schlep. And they started playing music. I said, who's coming? Nobody. Beautiful music, mind you. But, you know, I get music in my living room. I'm taking a whole concert. Whatever. That's why I think we should try to hustle up the processions, the shorter the better. They're not thinking about scorecards. Who's marching down? And it's just someone's count up. The numbers can go into the 50s, the 60s. I kid you not. It's bigger than most weddings used to be. It's in print, how people's marching down. You know, the nieces, and Baruch Hashem, that's nice. They have big families. The nieces, the nephews, the friends, the this, the God, the Velt is marching down. Yes?
One question back to tonight. Where does it come from? The minhag of breaking the plate, what's the meaning of that?
For breaking the plate is a very strong meaning at the time of the Tanoim. There are those who say it has something to do with, you know, Churban Yerushalayim. There are those who say that. That it's meant to show the seriousness of the undertaking. There are those who even said, I don't accept this, that if it's better to get married and right away than to break an engagement with Tanoim. Because there's a Cheirim and a Knast. You ever print out that stuff? Nachal Shiva, the guys have it? You have the Nachal Shiva, you saw it? No one looked at it? They're supposed to have it. But if you look there, you didn't see it? No. I can't tell you what they didn't see, but I'll tell you the Kitz and Nimitz, what it says in the Nachla Shiva, Simon Ches and Tess. There was a the undertaking, they had Tanoim Rishonim and Tanoim Achronim. Tanoim Rishonim was the time of the engagement. And there it said, if either party breaks the engagement, number one is going to be a Cherim. Number two, there's a knas, a fine. And it says explicitly in the classical Tanoim the cherem will not part of the knas, and the knas will not part of the cherem. So it's both if you break it. Obviously, there's a strong disincentive to break it. But broken engagements happen all the time, with or without tenoyim. In our part of the world, they stopped writing these tenoyim early on because there's so many broken engagements. They don't want to have to put people in cherem and in knas. But on the other hand, there are those who want to make sure it's really going to hold, and they figure that if they make a cherem and a knas, it's less likely to break. On the other hand, if it should break, and they're going to get divorced, it's ridiculous. So the answer really is the old tenoyim were primarily financial. They want weddings are businesses. Who's going to pay for this and for that and for the other thing? People backed out from their financial commitments. That's what it's all about. That's what it's about. The tenoyim that we have it, and that's signed by the Chosan Kala, or in their name, it's signed by the two fathers. The fathers are the ones who pick up the handkerchief. So it's financial in nature. Okay, so that's there's a whole discussion. Who's in the cherem? Cherem's on who? It's not the mechutz fault. The Kala backed out. The Kala never signed the tenoyim. So now someplace they have the Choskal sign the tenoyim also. After the mechutanim. That's not right. I was at a wedding not long ago, which I thought was terrible. There was a ksuba. And after the ksuba was signed by Tuwedi, they had the Choskal sign the ksuba. Then they went to have the Kala sign the ksuba. To me, that's ridiculous. A ksuba is a unilateral document. It's only the host obligating himself to the kala, not vice versa. What was the kala signing for? This is it wasn't done as an egalitarian thing. It was a chassidish guy. I just didn't know what he was doing. I couldn't believe what I was. I never saw it before ever. So you see all kinds of fun. Of course, I said nothing, but it was a little bit bizarre. Bekitzer, so it says there, you know. I don't know if I told you this story. Way back in the very early 70s, there was a young man from our yeshiva, and he was engaged to a wealthy a young lady from out of town. And he wrote in that time that if the either party backs out, it's a knas of $100,000. If you go on your phone, you can find out what $100,000 in 1970, what that's worth in 2016. What is it, $250,000? I have no idea how these things grow. P.S. to go back down. Back down. The father was a gentleman and gave the boy $100,000. So the boy was jilted and sad and this, you know. But they say a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. 100,000 reasons not to be that upset. Okay, he was a gentleman. He followed his commitment. Brought it back down. He wrote a check. That's the only case I know about, you know, in my direct knowledge when such a thing happened. That's tenoyim. That's tenoyim rishonim. Again, if you either back out, it's a cherem, a knas. The knas won't part of the cherem, and vice versa. The whole long text, which we don't see too often, but it's in the Nachla Shiva. You'll see it's right there. Tenoyim Achronim had different conditions. Some had a Tenoyim Achronim, what I call the prenup, which was Machmas Ider Uktat Yomiket HaKon Hashum, which means that if there's going to be a fight, that he's going to give a 10 Zeruvim right away. We spoke about this before, to take care of her needs and maybe to make an incentive to give a get. And if somebody dies in the first year, the money goes back to the Kala's father. That was written in the Tenoyim Achronim. And there were also other things which were written, such as Shtar Chatzi Zohar. I mentioned Shtar Chatzi Zohar briefly last time. But in the olden days, it wasn't, you didn't wait till a man hits 60 years old, so he'll decide to distribute his assets in a certain way, so write a Shtar Chatzi Zohar, so his daughter should get a half a share. No! When they got married already, they didn't have any daughters. And I said, no, it's very simple. The Kala's father doesn't want to give so much money unless he makes sure that the money's going to go to a certain place. He wants to make sure that there are daughters will get a share. So they had these, wrote the Shtachas Hazakha in the term Achronim in certain parts of the world. But these fell into disuse. These extra things, although the Hasidim still have some of them. Okay, that's tonight. Again, the process should be the shorter the better. In many circles, there's just, that's it. That was last night at a wedding. Chosen marched out with his parents, and the Kala marched out with her parents. Shalom, that's it. Done. The case I was at, the Chosen's parents were divorced. And they both marched the Chosen down. Divorced for many years. Where I come from, it's fine. I certainly see them. And so, wow, how can it be? They're divorced, they're marching. How can it be? They're near each other, with the Chosen between them. That's a Hasidic sensibility. As a matter of fact, in some Hasidic circles, in Ger in particular, the Unterfuhrers, as we call them, the people who are marching down, have to be people who are on their first marriage. I was at Rabbi Schoenfeld Schlita, Sheyarich Yom HaVishanim. I was at his second daughter's wedding. I was there. It's my age. I was there. I was so surprised. Rabbi Schoenfeld had lost his wife and remarried. He marched down with his wife. And then who marched the Kala down? Not her father. Her sister and brother-in-law. What's going on over here? That's why they told me that's a geraminic. You can only have people who marry for the first time. So they wouldn't let the father and his second wife. They were all divorced over here. It was Mishon, Nebuch. They both were Alman and Almana. Kach, I saw myself going back a long time, in the 60s, late 60s, as this happened. Okay, different menhagim. As you know, by Chassidim, real Chassidim, it's the two men march down with the chassan and two women march down with the kala. They don't have any problems of this nature. They once said to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, how come half your children you march down together with the Rebbetzin and half the children, it was two men and two women? What's going on? It's a very simple answer. Whatever the other side wants. That's a very beautiful answer. That's a great answer. I hold very strongly that do whatever the other side wants. And it's such a strong natir, I mean, I even gave in to one of my principles. But no bar. I'm against bars. Are terrible at weddings because the kids drink. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. Baruch Hashem, all the weddings had no bar, with one exception. The Mechutin said, my friends have to have a bar. He himself didn't drink. You know, I had two principles which conflicted with each other. So I gave in. Okay. A kittel. Different how about kittel. Some have the kittel under a coat. Especially by Chassidim. Kittel under a coat. Where I came from, the kittel was on top of the jacket. There was no coat. If it's cold, you can wear a coat, but you're not so cold. Different menhagim. It's important to tell the chosn kala in advance they should have proper nigunim for the what they're marching down to, and for the miadir and iban tziach. I've said the miadir after the chosn's there, and miadir iban tziach when the kala's going around seven times, they should have good nigunim. Usually that means four different nigunim. I was at a wedding last night with only three nigunim. The same nigun that the chosn marched down to was for miadir. They just kept going. Okay, they have such a big favorite, but should be dveikus nigunim. Okay, so the procession. I told you, the shorter the better. Now, if there are grandparents there, the chassidim they don't march. Never march grandparents now. But I'm sentimental. I think grandparents should zeicha to see a grandchild's wedding should march now. It's a very nice thing to see. Then you have all these little kinderlach marching down. So, it's cute. Sometimes they throw out flowers. I don't think it comes from the holy source. And then everyone's cheering, and then the kid can he walk, can he not walk? And then the mother says, come on. And then everyone starts to laugh. It seems to me that if they have to march down, it'd be better if they march down first. Before you get down to business, have the kids march down. That's the milsa de b'dichasa. But a wedding is a serious thing. It's k'mamet har Sinai. I don't see it. I don't like it too much. But again, every case is different. Okay. My Rebbe once was very upset when a chassan went to greet the kala. He felt it was a Christian minhag. But they asked him, Rebbe, but Chazal have an expression, k'chosn yotz l'kras kala. His response was a brisk response. He's not a chosn yet, she's not a kala yet. They're not married yet. As if they had an Arison first. Okay. Good. I don't make a fight about it, but I try to tell people that the chosn should stay where he is. The famous story that the Rav was upset at someone who was starting to march down and he yelled out, you know, on the open mic, Friedman, don't move! I'm not giving away what it is. The name Friedman is a very, very, very common name. He was a big rabbi, this man. He's no longer with us. The story went back to many, many years ago. Yes, sir.
Isn't there a proper Sfarget Minhag where the chosn comes down midway, picks up the column, and they walk to the chuppah, they leave the parents come out?
That the minhag exists, I know. Is it proper minhag? I can't answer that question. My rabbi was opposed to it. Those who have it, have them. I'm just telling what he was opposed to. I can't tell people to change their minhagim. You have a minhag, he says, oh, minhagim. Which way did the chosn kala face? Who's married here in this room? Raise your hand. Which way did you face? Don't remember.
No, forward.
You faced the crowd, or you faced
away from the crowd?
Away from the crowd. No. Which way? You don't remember.
The crowd was on the sides, so didn't
sides.
Yeah.
I am I, sir. Face the crowd.
Away.
Away. Not yet. Okay?
Face the crowd.
Face the crowd. Okay. So did I. Yeah?
I had a long time ago that I do remember. And we had, you know, a very significant person from the Sadiq Edition we faced away from the crowd.
Away from the crowd. The I'll tell you a story.
And my daughter, you know, at that time, many years later, was to face the crowd. But she was uncomfortable. I told her to turn around because I was to face the other way.
So you faced the other way. Okay.
The other way.
Yeah? I have no complaint about this whatsoever. None. Those who face the other way talk about Mekadesh Meshuk. That they're not supposed to get married in front of the whole world. There's these people, so many people there say Meshuk. I don't think that's what it means too much either. On the other hand, I was once at a wedding. I was sitting in the front, and Rabbi Hillel David was sitting next to me. Big, big Talmud Chacham. He was mitzad akala. I wanted him to do the wedding, but you know, I was usually the tzadik chosn is mitzad kedushin, so I couldn't give it away. They wouldn't let me. So he said, "Which way they're going to face? Whatever they want to face. If you don't mind, maybe they should face the crowd." I said, "Fine, whatever you say." Why my rebbe, Rav Hutner, wanted? I said, "Why?" It's like this. But the Christians, the priest faces the crowd, and the bride and groom face away. Why? Because by the Christians, the priest marries them. Kipshuto. He marries them. He marries them. It's a mess. The priest is marrying them. By us, the rabbi is just a facilitator. The chassan is marrying the kala. The rabbi, you don't need a rabbi to get married. So the people who were doing it, namely the Chosn Kala, they should be facing the crowd. Okay, I said, fine. I, the other way, it could be it comes from the Goyim. You know, the Chassam Seif was furious by getting married in a shul, because it's Minika Goyim. It's very possible that the whole idea of everyone sitting down with an aisle, with the whole story, won't always come from the Goyim. In Europe, look at all the pictures, when they got married, everyone just stood around. No one sat. No, if you were 80 years old, you got a seat. Everyone stood up for the whole chuppah. Just cried. That's an Eretz Yisrael to this day. That's what's unusually. Except the Americana come with their newfangled customs that people in Israel. What this? Could be all coming from the Goyim. I don't know. Yeah.
Sorry, so I'm confused. You're saying that the chosn kala facing the crowd could come from the Goyim?
For carriage. They should face the crowd. The other way comes from the Goyim. The Goyim face away.
That's interesting because you're on tape, so I can't. You know, but my daughter's going to two very significant people in North.
I'm not saying which one to do. I'm telling you what some people say to Dafka face away because of Mekadesh Meshuk, or their own privacy. They don't want the whole world to see them, what they look like as they're getting married. And something the other way around. And Rabbi Shechter says, face east. That could be any way, any which way east. East could be towards the crowd, away from the crowd, the side of the crowd, facing any angle in the world.
Personally, I think aesthetically, it's much better to have the custom color face away from the crowd. This way you get to see them inside our condition, and those people who are interested to see because you want to see them.
But that's exactly the point. That's what Rav Huttner was saying.
They're also nervous.
The Masada is a nobody. He's just a facilitator. Whatever. I don't spend too much time, but this... Fine. The Kala goes around 7 times. That's the minute we have. And then she stands on his right. I'm just remembering that in Richard wedding, there was a suggestion that the Kala should go around the Chosin 3.5 times, and the Chosin should go around the Kala 3.5 times. Plus in the cave with the Sof of Gever, that's the minute we have. We try not to change any minhag, even if not so. Some don't go around at all. Okay, that's the minhag. Some go around 3 times, whatever the minhag is. Okay. The chuppah should be a chuppah. It should be a nice cloth cover or something like that. I was once at a wedding in the Bayit in Toronto. Ever been there? The Bayit in Toronto? Ah, beautiful. Gorgeous.
In the shul,
beautiful. Everything is shiny. It's unbelievable. The problem was, we got to the chuppah. There was no chuppah. Yeah, they have a beautiful. They had beautiful. Mamash is gorgeous. There were 4 gold poles, and then 4, horizontal. And that was all there. There was nothing there. Nothing on top. They forgot to order a kind of chuppah. It's all the beauty. So Rabbi Tal ran into his study, pulled out a shmata, basically, whatever he found, and he covered it with that. some things you don't forget. Whatever it is. So make sure there's going to be a chuppah there. Okay. Some use a talus. Talus could be a chuppah. They could have taken the talus from the shul and had 4 people hold it, but they wanted to have it not held by people. Some have a chuppah held by people too. It's not in place. Whatever works. Okay. Now, you should prepare the, in advance what you need. What do you need? You need a cup. You need white wine or grape juice. Don't use red, because red can spill and fall over the kala's gown. People have not such steady hands. Things spill. You don't want things to spill, so it should be white. And if you're going to drink a little bit, it could be wine or grape juice. If you drink a lot, it better be grape juice. People who drink a lot of wine, I think I told you something, the guy fainted dead out. Remember the entire story? Oh, this is a story. It was a June wedding, and there's a frumma chosin, and a misal kedushin, a goyin oilam, but he was still very young. And after the Chosin drank up the whole cup of wine in an empty stomach in June. About 10 minutes later, I see he's flat out. Out on the floor. This Chosin was a starker. They have the whole cup of wine, a big cup on an empty stomach. That's what they're going to do to you. They call doctors, gewalt. He was fine, but that's what happened. So, there's some who want that the Chosin should drink a kashir. That this was a brisk or chumra. So, drink grape juice. About a bracha achrona. So I once saw one of my talmidim made a bracha achrona right then and there. After chuppah was over, he sat down and made a bracha achrona. He told me others make a bracha achrona in the yichud room. They have in mind that they'll have some cake too, so they'll have. It's a question whether the yayin is tov bracha b'mkomo and it's meiz b'mkomo, if you have in mind from the beginning. I thought it was a little bit unusual to sit down and make a bracha. Well, everyone's dancing and he's beginning to make his bracha achrona. I thought maybe it should be better done a little bit in the yichud room. I only have to take one sip. I don't insist on these things. One sip, mikrodin is enough. It's not like Kiddush, pshuto. There's a whole discussion whether the rabbi should take a sip of the wine. Reb Chaim is quoted variously. And I think Afika Yam said, Reb Chaim, he heard that Reb Chaim took a sip of the wine because I can't be able to do the chosin and the birchas eret. Birchas eret has no source in Shas. I can't just make a barbecue oven for you. It's a bracha levatola for me, and it's a isa hanabala bracha for you. It's a double whammy. But if I drink a little bit, then it's okay. That's what the Reb Chaim has quoted. The Pesach Shuvah asks his kasha, how do we do it? And the answer is, well, birchas eris, and even though it doesn't require a cup midina de gemara, it's good enough. It's considered to be a kosher bracha, if not by the gemara law, maybe the Gaonim can do the same thing, and then require a kos, but the kos is not really, really found in Shas Bavli Beferish. Talk about bris mila, they talk about these things. And this, perhaps for that reason, that's enough to be tomu mashu. It should be gnayla kos, as the lashon of Rashi and Erevin. So, whatever. So, you need wine or grape juice. You need a cup. What else do you need? A sitter or a bencher. If you don't have if you don't have something in front of you, you can easily make a mistake. Big rabbanim, they'll probably walk up and they say everything by heart. I've said it so many times, but there's nothing wrong with being a little more secure and read from a bencher. What's wrong? There's nothing wrong. Yeah. Read from a sitter. Now everyone has it on the phone. Used to be, no one had it. I've seen, I think I may have done one with reading from a phone. Yeah. They had a tiny print, the person can read it, but it has glasses. There's a phone, they can make it as big as you want. These things have some good use, you know. Whatever. So, you'll need a glass to break later on. Usually the caterer provides with all these things. And you, according to the proper minhag, you'll also need ashes to put on the chosan's malkum tefillin. Once at a wedding, there were no ashes there, so the rav said, where are the ashes? They remember a little fire under the chuppah and they started making a napkin, make ashes. Much better if it's done in private, and then you have the ashes waiting for you. Okay? So, there's an MC, gentlemen. An MC. Master of ceremonies. Have you ever been at a wedding where a woman is master of ceremonies? Or mistress? You ever been to such a wedding? Raise your hand. Never? Because I was like what you were in Zaych. I got called up by a lady MC at one of the weddings. I went up. Yeah. I tell you, just trying to change things for the sake of change. No. But the MC should be well coached. It's appropriate that the chosan, I guess who's the most responsible, should type out in advance every word he wants the MC to say, without exception. Every single word. If people are improvising, they make mistakes. To call up many people, do you call them just by their names? You call them with titles? What titles? It can be a little bit testy sometimes. I guess we leave everyone's title out. Godel Merav and Shmo. No titles. That's probably the best way to go. But some people, I was called up recently at a certain wedding with two titles. I don't need any titles. But someone said, what, you retired from the yeshua? They didn't mention that. They didn't mention the shul. So, I'm rather the shul. Whatever. It's for Hevel, but I'm just letting you know that people pay attention sometimes to some of these things. Of course, everyone's a Rava Goyin, you understand? A Rava Goyin. Leave out a Rava Goyin, come on. It cheapens the phrase terribly. Then everyone has the same last name. Shlita. This Shlita, that Shlita, they're all related. Everyone's Shlita. And one guy's not Shlita. Whoa. He doesn't have a strimal, he's not Shlita. He doesn't have to live a long life. What's going on over here? That's how these things go sometimes. Anyway, so the MC should have in front of him, and you give him directions what he should say, when he should say it. Speaking of microphones, when I'm a Sadek Kiddushin, I try not to use a microphone. Reb Shlomo Zalman held the microphone, it's not the voice of the that's being heard, and it's no good. You'll say that we'll bring people up to the front to hear the real voice. I'm not sure that works, because the mic voice, if the speakers are in front, is so loud that you really can't hear the person's own voice. You're hearing the mic voice. So what about the mic? Yeah, the MC should use the mic. The chosn can say to use the mic when he says arayat, even if it's not, I don't think there's any problem. You learn kedushin this year. So if he says arayat to her and she hears it through the mic, that's no good. Rabbi, did anyone say that? Amir is ma'akim, and she's shmir ma'akim, Amir. Well, she can't hear. He says arayat, she doesn't hear him. What do you say? She's married? She
college, she for sure hears.
She All right, but that's she doesn't hear his voice. Want to be a brisker? I don't think anyone holds that way. So if you use a fariat and Kriyas Aksuba, can certainly use the mic for those things. And the brachas, I prefer not using the mic at all. B'shas Atzchak, someone calls me out for a bracha, so I will use the mic. The one bracha that is the biggest problem with the mic is Bar Pregov, because that's a brachas anenet. So I was called up just now somewhere for Birchas Anana and I wasn't. So I made sure to use a very steady hand. I made sure my hand should shake, and I took a lick of the wine. Allah Rav Chaim, because I was afraid that otherwise they didn't really hear my bracha, and then I'm gonna put a bracha levatol. Okay. So you asked the rabbi to. Yes, the MC called. The rabbi called the AD Kedushin. Same time, one after the other. And then you stand in the chuppah. You say, are you miyachad these Aden? You designate these two people as Aden? You say, I don't think he has to say it about Pet. If he says it, it's fine. But if you just say, are you? The truth is, you don't need anything. The MC calls up Reuven and Shimon, AD Kedushin. That stuff is good. Everyone knows that he didn't make it up on his own. He got it from the chassid. Repeat it again, the chassan says it something. The rabbi used to say, to the exclusion of everybody else. Because of Nimtzechot Karav Apostle. What happens if one of them is Karav Apostle? The rabbi said they're married anyway. So what do you say? Because the other people, you can't really exclude. So I think Rabbi Tversky Shlita says, to the exclusion of all Krov and Psul. That's somewhat different. I don't say anything. Are these your Aiden? Yeah, Aiden. So I asked him one question: is this ring worth a pruta? They say yes. Then I asked, do you buy with your own money? He says yes. We've had some crises along these nations. Not long ago was a wedding when the Messiah was in a complete crisis, that the ring was not bought by the chassan. The ring was bought by the Kala's family. Oh my goodness. They knew they knew this. I was a whole tumult. The guy who sold the ring was there. It's a Hasidic guy, and I brought him up to consult. What did he do? How did he have in mind? He made him make a kinyan again. It was a whole. These things happen. Make sure it's not the wrong ring. This case where they mixed up the rings was a chub. And yeah, I was once at a wedding where I wasn't the Masada Kedushin. I said, I made him do the wedding all over again. The end of the wedding. He did it again. Because the ring wasn't properly given to the chosn before. These things happen. When they sent a thank you note, they said, thank you for the gift, and thank you, because if not for you, we wouldn't be married. That was part of their thank you note. Sure, true or not true. Anyway. Okay, then the Messiah makes his two brachas, Bar Pergof, and then Asher Kitchum, and so on, Rogers, etc., etc. The Kaddish Ham Yisrael, the Chubba Vikidush. Very nice. Who gives the wine to the Chosn Kala? So the minig is, if everyone's intact, Chosn father gives to the Chosn, the Kala's mother gives to the Kala at that point in time. Fine. Then the Harayat. So the best way to do Harayat nowadays is to give him a cue card. That's what's, it's on the bench, or it's on the sitter. In the olden days, they didn't have these things. They were just reciting. I think I told you what the Rav did at my wedding, correct? We went through that? Yes or no? No? At my wedding, the Rav said, repeat after me. Harayat, harayat. I did what the Rebbe said. I repeated after him. I gave her the ring. Now, of course, the question is, Lee? How did the Rav say the word Lee? Who's getting married over here? So the old rabbis were taught to say to these chassanim who didn't know too much, repeat after me. Hare, hare, at, at, mikudeshes, mikudeshes, say Lee. The old joke went, and the chassan said, say Lee. I was wondering whether it really happened. It really, really happened. Say Lee, say Lee. I think everybody black said he had a cue card. He said, hare, hare, L-E-E, you know, just he didn't want to say it himself. The Rav said it himself. By now, it was obvious I was getting married. So I was giving her the ring. But this, I thought I told you the story. I only heard it secondhand. I wasn't there. I went to the Yichud room. But Rabbi Schachter, Zichron Levracha, Rabbi J.J. Schachter's father, who was my father's close friend, who was there, said to the Rav after I got, you know, Rebbe, he's one of your star Talmidim. You couldn't let him say the Harayat Baal Peh? Ah, a Mishnah and a Yerushalmi and Bikurim. People don't know what he's talking about. Bikurim. What's it, Bikurim? He meant that there used to be a time when the people would be embarrassed. They didn't know the Arami Ovid Ovi that we say in Parshas of Bikurim. They stopped coming. They wouldn't be Bikurim because of the embarrassment. When Matakein, then everybody, no matter how scholarly, you don't say that. You don't read it, someone else reads it for you. We should always say, that's why these days, if you get an aliyah, you don't lay the Valkyrie lane. But I don't lay. Not to embarrass other people. Low pluk. It's low pluk. I always say, I was once at a wedding with a fine young Talmud Chacham, and the rabbi assumed he knew about Baal Peh. He started saying, Hare at Muteres. Hey. That's the other end. So, you know, people get flustered. You know, even the very learned Chassan. So, the best way is to give it nowadays is just let him read it. If he can't read, he can't read. All right, maybe transliterate it or you say it in front of it. People I deal with, most of them can read Hebrew. That's the best way to do it. What's important is that you finish the entire 9 words before you put the ring on the finger. In Kedushin Nesina, you have to have the Amira before the Nesina. It's very important. Right before the Nesina. Keep this in mind. Not every rabbi is careful about this. Fine. That's the Kiddushin. Stage 1 is done. Some of them may say, it's in the Kodeshes. Then, Minig Yisrael is to read the Ksuba. The main reason for reading the Ksuba.
If the person puts it on before, would you make him do it again? Or a super question?
It depends how much before. If he said, Harayat Mekodeshes Li, if he got through those 4 words, I would have no problem. If you put them before those 4 words, I'd make them do it again.
What about a double ring?
Double ring, Rechmona Litzlan. Double ring. Rav Moshe said if it's a double ring ceremony, there's a shayla, maybe they're not even married. Ad kedei kach. Wonder what a double ring is? He gives her a ring, she gives him a ring. That's what the goyim do. But they exchange rings, and with the exchanging of rings, they become married. So Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva, could be they're not married because they think they're getting married with an exchange of rings. But that's not true. They get married only when he gives her the ring. So sometimes they have a custom in some places, he'll give her a ring, and after saying I wrap him deliciously, and she'll give him a ring and say, Ani le dodi ve dodi li. Did we speak about that once before about Shir HaShirim? Did I mention that before? I believe it was Rabbi Billet's wedding, Shlita. The Rav is there. And the Chazan starts to intone Dodi Li, Vani Lo, or something. And the Rav is muttering, against the Dina de Gemara, the Dina de Gemara, the Dina de Gemara. He met him on Sanhedrin about Shira, you know, someone's sings a song from Shir HaShirim, that's how there was, how many Rishonim understand it. So it's a Churban. Shir HaShirim is Hashem and Klai Yisrael, not a Chosin and Kala. I remember seeing once at a wedding invitation, Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchul Lechabas Esavu Naros Rishtafua. And they got divorced. So it's a sheker. It's from everything else. Shouldn't you quote Shir HaShirim in this, by the Chosin and Kala? So Adil Adodi Vadodi Li. Okay. It's not as bad, because it's clearly a different text, but still, in that, and though some of these new innovations, there was this different. She didn't want a silent kala. We don't want a silent kala. Kala should say something. If she says "Hain," okay, let's leave. Okay, it's not our minig, but okay. And then there are those who want to say she should say "Hareini mekabelas sakidushin" or something like that. It's even worse, but it's still not terrible. But then there's some who want to say that she should say, she should give him a ring and say to him, Hare ato mekudesh li. That's a real churban. That Ramosha, their Ramosha's argument has extra cogency. She thinks that they're marrying each other. When they marry each other, that's when they become married. That's not true. Ki gach ishisha. All these new customs, some of them could actually be making great shahada by the actual kiddush. Most of them are just not right, but some of them can actually call into question the validity of the marriage, such as this. We spoke about the ksuba, they want to put the mother's name in the ksuba, which is never was done, or offers mishpichot, I said also. These innovations are not, don't make me happy. Yeah?
If you're making the kiddushin all over, because let's say before the four words, and she's got a ring in the finger, is she koneh at that point, and you need a new ring, or?
No, use the same ring, say give it back the ring, transfer the ownership to him, he picks it up, and starts all over again. Okay. Our minhag is to put the ring on the finger, even in the rare occurrence of a chupas nida, which is much more rare thanks to Justin. The famous story with the Rav once. You get an open mic. All right, now drop the ring into a finger. Drop it into a hand. It was a chupas nida. That was not a good one. But I wasn't there. I'm happy I wasn't at that wedding. That's what I heard the next day. Well, okay. It's a natural thing. Nothing. It's not an illness. Baruch Hashem, it's a sign of good health. The Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva about harchokas. I mean, it's healthy. But still, the women don't want anyone to know their personal status at all. They just don't want it. They just don't want it. They don't want to know. Chassidim will not send out an invitation until 2 weeks before the wedding. You have any Chassidish cousins? No one? You get the wedding. Why are they waiting so long? They're not going to give out the invitation until she has a period and they know she's going to become clean. They just won't send it out before. Yeah. Chassidim, even if she is a nida, they're so intent on this idea of Hachnas Rishus, so they'll have the chosn hold her by the bottom of the sleeve and pull her into the yichud. They always hold hands, and if in case not, they're talking about a sleeve. They have their own minhag. Okay, teach his own. Case of the ksuba is read by someone who knows how to read it, hopefully, and then the chosn gives the kal the ksuba. If she's a nida, she give it to someone else to give it to her. The ring he can give her. They're not married yet when he gives her the ring. So it's bon kiyachot. But the ksuba, they're already married, so it's better he should not give it to her directly. Rabbi Eider had a sad lahokel. So the reason why we're machmer these, all these hachokas, is because yichud is mutter. But yichud can't be a rishon as asur, so therefore maybe there should be no issur of passing. Interesting svar. Okay, maybe. General rule, the kal gives the ksuba to somebody else, usually a mother, if she has a mother, to hold on to it for safekeeping, because she may otherwise lose it. There have been cases of chosn kal losing the ksubas at the wedding hall. I've heard more than one time. More than once. But they forgot the ksuba. Sometimes they lost the ksuba completely, it's thrown out. Better to give it to the mother. She's more responsible. If it's going to be his drosha, Russia should be then, because the whole point of the ksuba is just, it's a stall tactic to separate between the heiress and the nisuin. So you stall more of the speech. Now the Sheva Brachos. You pass from the halacha can be seven different people. You need not give the first two brachas to one person. Let's say someone's erishtishtet, svei brachas, not necessary. If you have a sadik illusion, you stand there the whole time. Make sure things are done right. They don't say the wrong bracha. It's been known to happen so many times. Once one of the most chashev Rosh Hashivas was Mesach Kedushin, and he sat down. And they said the first bracha. They said, Shakal Baruch L'Chvodo instead of Yosar Adam. Or they said, whatever. Question, if they said Yosar Adam, they skipped Yosar Adam. They said, Asher Yotzer, Baruch HaTashim Yotzer, can you go back into the other Yotzer Adam? But what is the problem in one bracha? You have seven people penciled in, you only have six brachas, because... All kinds of things can go wrong if you're not standing there. Make sure the chasn and kala don't talk to each other, because it's between the bar pagafen and drinking. And if it's, again, if things are intact, the kala's father gives to his new son-in-law, and the chasn's mother gives to a new daughter-in-law. So all the parents get into the act as far as drinking the wine. Everyone gives a sip in that kind of situation. After that, the minhag is to put ashes on the chassan's head. Now they sing Imesh Kacheg at many weddings. Break the glass. Some break the glass in the middle, some break the glass at the end. But they always used to be on at the end. You gotta tell every chassan kala not to touch inappropriately. There was always a custom in certain other parts of the world. And now the groom will kiss the bride. Ever see it? Ever see the wedding? I once missed it. My wife said she saw it. I said, "Wow!" My father told me that, and he was a youth in the Lower East Side, so that was a custom in many places. So the Rav, one of the Lower Chasham Gedolim, was so much against it. He said, "Rabbi, what's wrong? He's a husband and wife." So he responded like this: "Le'enei call you straw." That's the end of the Torah. That's the words of the Torah. Someone said that she's all over him. They're wrapped around each other the whole night. I had a case. I was so embarrassed. So the mother of the one of them said, "Will you cut this out?" Even looking at each other inappropriately is wrong. After everything, has to be done in an appropriate fashion. Yichud, how long is yichud? Big machlekes. Oh man, estimates range from under a minute to 9 minutes. I usually keep them there 8 minutes. Shouldn't be the biggest machmir. If it's a chuppah's need, they have to arrange for someone to be in the room, as we spoke about. They have sleeping arrangements later at night. There are different kulas. It's called the Orchos Tara. There's many kulas in the Chos Yichud, but not for now. So if there are two rooms, even if they're in the same apartment, you can be Mekel. He's a dying in the Badatz, in the Charedus. So he's not... not a kal, on the b'chashavod. Then you go to the meal. Hopefully, if you took the pictures before, it's 1, 2, 3. You know, they have to take some of their touching pictures. Okay, that should be done afterwards. Don't take that long. You should come in, you know. Well, we hope as soon as possible. I believe that a Mesach Kedushin, if it's all possible, should stay till the very end. The very end means till after the benching of the Sheva Brachos. If he can't, should appoint someone else to make sure things go right. Rabbis just leave, you never know what's going to happen. If there's a speech at the wedding, at the meal, you have to be careful. Sometimes speeches turn to what I call today roasts, where they insult the chasn and kala at their own wedding. I was once at such a wedding, I couldn't believe it. Very, very chashiv Mesach Kedusha. Very. But you know, I would have pulled the mic. They're insulting the chosn at his own wedding. Happens at offroofs. You can't put, there's no mic at an offroof. Sometimes they insult them at the offroof too. But I try to say, shh, it's not a nice way to talk. The wedding should be, you know, the wedding meal should be a suddas mitzvah. There shouldn't be any frivolity or levity. It's a various. If you're mistaken, you should dance the chosn kala. I always say it's better to bench early. If you bench right after the main dish, everyone will bless you. because most people like to eat the main dish. People like it. Somebody leave earlier, but they're ready reserved. They're going to give you a piece of chicken or meat. So you stay. What's even better to do is to announce before they serve it, we're going to be benching right after the main dish, and then we'll have benching Shevros, and then we'll have the second dance. This way, those who will be willing to wait 10 minutes, not willing to wait an hour, can wait the 10 minutes, so they know they're going to be benched in a few minutes. A few of my Talmida did it. Everyone blessed them. And when that happened, I dafka stayed for the second dance. They shouldn't think that it's for my own no chiyut, I want to leave early. Stayed. And then and many other people also stayed. You gave us the option. It'll be nice and stay a little bit longer. Those are good desserts. Everyone, that's the power of dessert. Some of the mitzvah tats. You ever hear a mitzvah tats? You know what it is? Who had a mitzvah tats at his wedding? Raise your hand. They told me that's Semitic. So they took out a gartel. Some kind of handkerchief, I forget what it was, a handkerchief, and they wanted people to dance with the collar. That was a sweet, it was okay. It's a Hasidic custom, I think it's, I don't know where it came from. And then they asked, I should dance with the collar. I was a chosm. Okay. There's a picture of me with a handkerchief, okay. Oh, I remember my cousin's wedding was real Hasidic. They would not let him use a handkerchief. Everyone else used a handkerchief, and they made the chosn hold on to the collar. It wasn't quite the ramba, I don't know what they did exactly. But they made sure they want to make sure that they got a little comfortable, you know? It's tough, you know? I saw it. Rav Moshe was the Messiah Kedush. I don't think he was there for the mitzvah tants, but then there's the mezhinka tants. Oh, the mezhinka tants. When you marry off your last child, the mezhinka is female. You marry for your last daughter. It's considered to be a tremendous simcha in Europe. If you lived long enough to marry for all your children, there was a tremendous simcha. Really. And then it's a big simcha to this day, too. To this day, it's a tremendous simcha to marry for your last child. They have what they call the brooms. You see the brooms? It's sweeping the house clean. Empty nest. Everyone's out. Baruch Hashem. Brooms. Well, my last one we made, they asked me, I said, no brooms. No mezhinkatans. You want to have to honor my wife and myself that Baruch Hashem was over to the milestone. I told him you can be happy to sit with my wife in the middle. I want to dance around in a proper way. But I told him that they different thing. Different thing. Kiyarech Yama. That Baruch Hashem would have to my children should give me. That's what they did at the last wedding. Some mezhinkatans are kosher, some are not kosher. But who's touching whom? You know, you have to be careful over there. You know, be careful. You know, I mentioned before that the chosn shouldn't go to the kala side. I still think it's true. But the kala's father can go to the kala side to dance with his daughter. That's okay.
That's okay?
I'm sorry?
Sorry, I didn't hear
what. The case in Meraktan, the kala comes to the chosn side. That's a din mefurish in the Gemara. Although in some circles now they stop doing that, you know? The whole way the kala never comes to the chosn side. It's not no good. Whose case in Meraktan? The women. Nupshat in the Gemara. The women of Meraktan from their kala. Case in Meraktan, those of their kala, should say. Come on. This is uchumus. But they started noofing that the girls dance in front of the chosn. That's not allowed. So if the chosn moves into the kala side, I pull them out. And if the kala is with the chosn side, but the women start dancing in front of the chosn and the kala, I try to block them out. Best I can. Be careful how you do it. So that's not appropriate. Not appropriate. Yes, sir.
Okay, so I never saw this in my home city, but when I was introduced to my first chosn here, so there, maybe so I don't have a basis of minhag, but I saw that, you know, there's a point where the families do, you know, like the parents and the kids mix in a circle. Is that
two families in a circle? I never saw that in my life.
Like the chosn family, the kala's family?
Never saw that in my life.
Really?
Never in my life. Never saw it. I think it's inappropriate. That we had dances with the whole family. It's true.
The whole family.
Towards my own family, my
right,
children.
So your own family and the so
just my family, dance for the whole for the chasm kala, in the corner towards the end of the wedding.
Towards the end of the wedding.
But not two, not both families together.
The two families, one. That's not that's inappropriate. But
I think
each family could.
I think so. Yeah, at the end, I think it's okay. I think it's okay. Okay, you have to tell the chasm kala that they can call you any time of the day or night. We went through this a little bit last week. And they should try to help a needy couple. They're spending so much money on their weddings for a small fraction, they can help make an entire wedding in Eretz Yisrael. For someone who has no money, it's a very appropriate thing to do. Do you have any questions before I make my see you? Yeah?
You mentioned something when the chasm went to meet the kala by the walking down before. You mentioned that the rab. Didn't the rab hold, clarify this for me, that the bedekin had some kind of union, had aid the bedekin at some point?
Yes.
So maybe they were married already?
They're not. Almost nobody says, there's a taz about this. Badek the kala, they never got married. They need a get? The pasha says no. Some of them say yes. How can you justify such a minik? No, you learn kedushin. How can you justify those who say that just a bedek the kala needs a get? They never got married. Simple. You say that a bedek is a chuppah, and you pass the kavuna chuppah kona. It's one day in the Shulchan Aruch, chuppah kona. They probably didn't have it in mind, but you can make it. Your saying is very good. You're asking a good question. So it's not Mikir Adinna. Mikir Adinna we pass because Medeka is not really a chuppah, and the chuppah we pass is not really kona.
But so, the rabbi used to have eight Medeka, I heard. I mean, is that
eight true
or
not? Not at my wedding. The way he did Medeka, but he did it sometimes.
Why?
Because it could be that's considered to be a chuppah, and it's going to take effect as soon as he puts the ring on her finger, according to those who hold that way. Which we didn't even, we said we thought not that way. They have in mind to have it until after the Shevet Brachos. So that's the first stage.
But you need Eidim for
the Rav really held even the chuppah, the yichud itself, even that doesn't need Eidim, according to Rav Chaim Brisker. He only needs das, rust, he only needs kavana. He wasn't so, the Rav had different sheetness. He would sometimes be makbar and things just to show, to make a point that there's such a sheet like that. You know, he didn't really hold that way himself. Yes, sir.
Okay, I never saw this before ever at any chasm, but my son's Rosh Yeshiva, who was inside the tradition, would not allow the singing at the end of Meshka Bekir Shwaib. I wasn't pleased about that, and I wasn't pleased that was, I just couldn't hear it at all on that issue.
He was what about a hefsik? What was he worried about?
I don't know what the problem was.
Hefsik. Then some people will say they should go quickly from the chuppah to the yichud room, because the brachas are shever brachas on the nisuin, and if you hold nisuin, it's only the yichud room. Try not to have to long of a hefsek between the birchas nisuin and the nisuin prop, which is yichud in the yichud.
In a city
that's
where every person does that, how can you take a position like that?
You're asking me. You asked the guy who did it. I'm very laid back. I try not to be back with too many things. Any other questions? So let me just end with the following. There's a whole discussion. How much do you have to know about? So when it comes to Gittin, you have to know a tremendous amount. When it comes to Kiddushin, don't have to know that much. But you have to know something. And since you may end up being Masadri Kiddushin down the road, make sure you know something. And my most important hint is, when you do it for the first time, make sure there's another Rav there who can help you out. To go fly solo your first time is irresponsible. You wouldn't want to fly a plane solo for the first time. Someone next to you has experience. In case you make a mistake, he'll tell you what to do. Give everyone a bracha that you should make many chasm kalas happy, do the city kedushin properly. And if you're Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky at a skula, none of his marriages ever fell apart. There was not one get. Rav Yaakov was supposed to do a wedding at someone whom I knew, some of his parents, I knew parents, and he was somehow delayed, or he gave it over to the grandfather, and they got divorced. They would have broken the streak. I'm told that Rav Yaakov, that's what I'm told today, he did who knows how many, because he was his Tita and Emma Yaakov. That's what they said. He was such a. I was, for many years, I had that streak, but it was broken. It was broken. Once it was broken already, broke more than once. Can't help it. You know, you do a wedding. If you think that they need you to do the wedding, even though you're not sure the wedding's going to last, I think I told you in a previous context that I'm opposed to birth control upon marriage, but if you think the wedding's not going to last, then it's not such a bad idea. So every case is different. Okay, we should all be zochah to simchas. I don't know if you have some minion. We want to go downstairs or down in here? It's barely a minion here.
I don't worry.
Yeah, so we'll go downstairs because you don't have tennis power. Excellent.
Okay.